is to Ephesians 3, and then let's turn to verse 19. We looked at it this morning. We're just going to go a little bit further this evening. And it says this: to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Everyone say all.
All.
All the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ. Okay? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that... So when we know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now watch this. All the fullness of God means total victory in life and prosperity. And by prosperity, I'm not talking about consumerism. I'm talking now about healing for our flesh. I'm talking about wisdom and discernment and everything that's right for our souls. The soul is the mind and the will and the emotions, and it's everything that's right for the soul and for the spirit to be born again and alive to the things of God. Basically, operating in the power of God. God sent his son Jesus. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness, Colossians teaches, into the kingdom of his dear son. Now the truth is this, that we are meant to live in his victory. He's called us for victory. He's shaped us for victory. If you're a Christian here tonight, you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he has molded you for someone who will live in the victory of life. Not desperate, poverty mentality, weak, feeble. That's not for us. We're the ones who've been called, who've been washed in the blood of Jesus and shaped for victory. He's shaped us for victory. And so that victory now manifests itself. The key verse we looked at this morning, this verse that we looked at, the word that we looked at this morning, which was a key word we recognized, was to know. How do we know something? We know in our mind. It's in our thinking. It's in our understanding. But the implication in this to know is especially through personal experience. Strong's Concordance teaches. To know through personal experience. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I'm so happy that I know the love of my wife, Micah. I'm so happy that I know her love, you know. I know her love because I spend time with her. I know her love because it's small little things, you know. It's the little things. Tea in bed, and, you know. It's the little things of life, you know. And I know her love because I live with her. I experience her love. I'm so happy to experience her love. Aren't you happy to experience someone's love? What a beautiful thing it is. I've hugged her so many times today. I must have hugged her about 100 times today. And every time I go past her today, I hug her and I give her a kiss. I say, I love you. I can't help being a bit of a softie. This is just the way I am. But I love her so much. And I'm so happy to know that love. That's the love that I have. And now God is saying to us, listen, he wants us to know, watch this, he wants us to know what love? Let's read it. He wants us to know the love of Christ. When we know his love for us, when we know his love for us, when we know how much he loves us, you know, sometimes to know that my wife loves me, it sort of melts me. Do you know what I mean? It's such a deep and profound and touching thing. It just touches me in a way I can't fully describe in words, to be honest. But it impacts me. It impacts me deeply. and to know that she loves me. But what the scripture is saying is this: when we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, in other words, it's more than just knowledge, it's more than knowledge, it's knowing the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you want the fullness of God, there's a way to it. It's to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Once you know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, you receive the fullness. You're filled with the fullness of God. Now that's something. To live in the fullness of God means that you don't live with fear. There's no fear in that. If you're filled with the fullness of God, you don't live with any fear at all. You don't have any doubt at all. When God tells you something, you walk in that thing because you've got faith. And what's faith? The substance. Some people like to emphasize the now bit. You know, they think they've found a good trick. You know, now, now. Well, you know, okay. Now faith is. If you read it in the Greek. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of which isn't seen. You walk in that. You just know. There's certain things you know. I know certain things about my wife because I've received her love. I'm in relationship with her to the degree that I just know. I just know. Sometimes when you go to someone, you just know. Sometimes God speaks to us. He'll tell you this. He'll tell you it. It could be in Christian ministry. For example, for myself, in Christian ministry, I know sometimes when someone's going to be healed. I know before I just know what God's going to do. And it's not a 99%. I know 100%. And you know, sometimes it's a case of God would speak to you and say, don't go that way in your life. Go this way in your life. And you'll know 100%. God will be speaking to you and saying, don't do that. Do this. And you know 100%. Because you know his love. You know what it is. You know, I don't need to ask Micah about dishes. I know. If I walk past and I just do the dishes, she's going to be really pleased with me. It's a simple thing. But I know that. Some of the ladies are I know that. Some of us men like to do the dishes all the time, I'm sure. I'm old-fashioned. I believe men have their roles. Ladies have their roles. Why do ladies have small feet? To get closer to the sink. Someone told me that. And I said to them, what a terrible joke. What a terrible joke. That is a terrible... That's the kind of joke I'd never say. Never say that type of joke. Please, men. Never. Whatever happens. But you just know, I know some things that I should do, and Micah's happy with me because of the love that we have together. And so, what I'm saying is this: if we want to experience more health, more abundance, and success in our lives, God, being God, has got all those things for us, and that's all that we need to do is to decide and make the decision that we would yield ourselves to him. Now, watch this. We don't get filled with the goodness of God by praying and fasting for 5 days. We don't get filled with the goodness of God by having an all-night prayer meetings. We don't get filled with that by studying the Bible, you know, endlessly. No. We get filled with, let's just look at the word, verse from Ephesians 3:19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How do we get filled with all the fullness of God? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That's how it happens. It's by knowing the love of Christ. You know, Once I knew that God was for me, I just became confident in God. Once you know God is for you, you just get to be confident in Jesus. Once you spend time with Jesus, you know, you start to get confident. I remember being in London. I'd moved up to London. I'd had my first job. And then after I had earned a decent amount of money for that, after the money was all spent, I had no money. I had to get a temporary job. I was working this temporary job. And on the Friday, the boss said to me, "Oh, you can wait until Monday for your money, can't you?" I didn't have any money. I had no money. I had no money for food. I had no money for anything. I didn't have any transportation to get back to where I lived. It was a tube journey right away, and a long one. I mean, I was stuck. I walked down the street. I walked behind the building. I was only just turned 21 years old. I walked down the street, around the building, sat on a wall, and I went to cry. Just like a little lost boy. I went to cry on the wall because I was lost. I had nothing. I didn't, you know, what could I do? When I opened up my eyes, and I was a long way away from anywhere, long way away from the tube stations, long way away from anything. When I opened up my eyes, I said, "Lord, how am I going to get home? I haven't got money to get home. I've tried to do the right things, and I've tried to..." And I don't know. I opened up my eyes, and in the middle of my feet was a travel card for that day, with the date of that day stamped on it. That's when I started to realize God was a God of miracles. I know an angel put it there. I know an angel put it there. There's no question about it in my mind. An angel put it there for me. Isn't God good? He's just so wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He loves us so much. And what he's saying in this verse is, look, he's saying, just know the love of Christ. Know it. Be assured of it. Know it. You know, I'm sure that if we knew the love of Christ, as true as the love of Christ is, everything in our life would become easier and better. Because we wouldn't strive. We wouldn't be so edgy. We would be, because the love of God is so massive and expansive, that would cover everything in our lives. Do you know what I mean? It's beautiful. The love of Christ. And so the scriptures are saying, listen, if you want this abundant life, this full life, this powerful life, then let the love of Christ be known to you. And the knowing takes place where? In the brain, in the mind. So when we come to church, what's the point of a church service? Really, is to give glory and worship to Him. To worship Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, to learn from Him. But let Him be the focus. Just look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's look to Him in everything. I want to encourage everyone to look to Jesus more and more in our lives. Let's look and let's know the love of Christ. I got to know Micah's love. It says, this is interesting, it says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It passes knowledge. Do you know, this is the truth, I know some preachers who know the Bible so well. I know some preachers who know the Bible so well. If they stood up and preached something, you'd think, wow, now there's some good Bible teaching. Look at that. That man knows the Bible so well. And they're living, they don't keep their word. They're not people of their word, right? They'll break a promise to you with like that. They live in poverty. They've got absolutely no, they're just living in defeat. In pretty much about every area that I can think of, with relationships being broken, and just mean and just rude and just being just what you wouldn't think a preacher should be to people, but yet when it comes to Bible knowledge, brilliant. How can that be? How can that happen? I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking, Lord, what is it? Well, it becomes very clear, really. It's so simple, really, when you think about it. It's that the love part isn't present. Clearly, it's not present. Because you know the tree by its fruit. And you can have all these things, but if you don't have love, well, it's just like a clanging cymbal. But if you have love, then things manifest, the fruit grows, things blossom, it works. The word works when there's love with it. But without love, it doesn't work. So this is why he's saying here, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's not about knowledge. It's not about knowledge. You know, someone could have sat me down and given me all the facts about Micah. Now, she was born here. Do you know the truth is, I forget facts. I even forget. I have to think hard for birthdays, even for Micah's birthday. Can you imagine? Look at the look of disgust on Daniela's face. The look of disgust was... You know, I forget things like facts like that. I'm not sure. That's not a strong point for me. Some of the men understand. Yes. It's just not a strong point. But the women are looking bemused. Shirley's looking bemused as well. I'm surprised at how the women are looking, actually. Please, don't. It's not personal. It's just be generous. men, for some reason. But the point is, the knowledge, that's a piece of knowledge that, you know, it can, even that knowledge could slip my mind. And other bits of knowledge, you know, or there's this piece of, you know, information about Micah. And it slips my mind. I forget things. If they were to write a long piece of knowledge about her, a lot of it perhaps I would have forgotten. A lot of it would have slipped my mind. But the thing that surpasses all of that, and the thing that never changes, is that I love her. And thanks be to God, she loves me. And so that doesn't change. And that surpasses the knowledge. That's the important bit. It's the love bit that makes all the difference. The knowledge bit can come and go. But if there's love there, if that love is real, that love makes all the difference. Amen?
Amen.
Now watch this. What he's saying to us is, he's saying, to know the love of Christ, know that Christ loves you. You are so precious to Christ. So very precious to Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. You're so precious to Jesus Christ. He wants us to think on that. To know his mindset, to think on how much he loves us. Isn't it something? And to experience that love. You know, 1 Peter 1, 13 and 14, it says this: therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. We should just focus on the love of Christ, the manifest love of Christ for us. And what happens is, as we focus on that, as we spend time with him, as we yield ourselves to his way of living, what happens? We grow more and more confident in Christ. Let me tell you, the next time that I was praying, after I received that ticket in between my legs, now it comes to the next time. Have a guess what happens now? Now I'm getting a bit more confident. Because I've seen what God does. I'm starting to experience the love of Christ. It's manifested in my life. And so I'm starting to see him. Now I'm growing more confident in Christ. I'm saying to you this. Listen, Christ wants you to know his love for you. He loves you so much. And he wants you to know his love so much that you start to get a bit confident. You know, get a bit confident with his love for you. Say, you know, I'm not on my own. I'm not on my own in this. No. You think I'm on my own? I'm not on my own in this. No way. Never ever has he let us down. He'll never ever let you down. Ever let you down. He's never let us down. He will never let us down. If you're doing any questioning, don't question him. You may question your ability to believe, question yourself, question something about you. Don't question him. He'll never let you down. His love. I like that song, you know, here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. I mean, think of what he's done. So you want to know about the love of Christ. Now, you know now, okay, this is how far we've got in this little sermon here this evening. We know this, that once we know the love of Christ, what happens? Once we know the love of Christ, Ephesians, we've read it in Ephesians. Once we know the love of Christ, Ephesians 3, what verse?
19.
Thank you. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Once we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, then we're filled with the fullness, all the fullness of God. What a place to be. What a way to live. What a way to walk. Someone who's living like that is living in the power of God. Now watch this. We're confident in him. We've seen him do things in our lives. We've started to believe. Watch what happens when now we say, right, the scriptures teach us that he has injected, that he has imputed you, Peter, this Jesus, and me, Stephen. He's injected us with his righteousness. This is the love of Jesus. He's imputed his righteousness into us. He's called us elect. When he called us elect, he said, I will make you righteous through imputed righteousness. Remember I mentioned before about this huge needle? And how you push the needle into someone? It's like imputing righteousness. The needle's filled with righteousness. And he pushes the needle in. Each one of us, you just picture each one of us, mouths open, and he imputes this righteousness into us. He's clothed us in righteousness. It becomes easier when we read the scriptures to focus on his love. If love is so important, if knowing his love is so important to us, we should focus on how we understand to know his love. Well, how do I get to know his love? Well, if I start thinking about that for a while, that's going to help me understand his love. If I start thinking about how he died on the cross for me, that's going to get me thinking about his love. If that doesn't get me thinking about his love, what will? Nothing's going to get me thinking about his love. When I think of the cross, I think of him hanging there. I think of the victory of the cross. I think of him translating us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We're talking about the love of Jesus for us. And he's saying to us, come on now, live this Christian life with me. Come on, he's saying. Come on, I've got good things in store for you. I've picked you, I've chosen you, I've called you, you're elect. I've done it for a reason. I've got plans, I've got purposes for you. I want you to have the best of life. And this is it, the riches of his grace. Hallelujah, the New Testament's full of this. Am I making any sense to anyone here this evening?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's take it in, please. Let's take it in. Let's understand it. Let's take it into our lives. Look, let me just say this. Local churches are like families. We've talked about now the riches, okay? And this is how the love of God, the love of Christ manifests in us. We focus on him, what he's done for us. We spend time with him. We spend time in our lives in prayer. We spend time in our lives in worship, don't we? We spend time in worship, prayer, studying the word of God. We spend time giving tithes. We pray about gifts that we give. We spend time in service for the church. Let me just talk about the church a moment here this evening. Let me just say something about this briefly. Local churches are like families. Some are healthier than others, and all have issues. But many churches, you know, they're suffering from, like, you could describe it as a serious case of consumerism. You know, consumerism. Where people just want to go, I just got to go. They call it now, there's a thing called shopping therapy. I heard about it. The people go to the shops, they say it's therapy for them. Retail therapy. And they go and they buy things. Consumerism. And the church is suffering in some aspects of serious case of consumerism. The norm in the culture has become, how can you serve me, rather than how can I serve Christ and the church. It's crept into the church, that secular consumerism. So people come to church, and instead of coming to the family of God, what happens is so often it's how can you serve me rather than how can I serve Christ and the church by being in this place. Now, one of the problems is people haven't had enough confidence in who they are in Christ. You see, Christ sees you as something so valuable, so honoring to him. He put such a high value on you and your life. But when I speak to people, people very often have a low opinion of themselves, and they have a low understanding of who they are. But that's not the truth. That's absolutely not the truth. Let me tell you this. Whoever you are here tonight, if they rolled all the computers on planet Earth together, all the scientific experts in NASA and all the rest of it, it pales into insignificance in comparison to you. They may not have told you how intelligent you were in school. They may not have understood it themselves. The truth is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jesus loves you so much that he knows the number of hairs on your head. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So what he's saying is this. He's saying to us, look, I love you so much. I want so much for you. I've called you, I've commissioned you to be part of this great thing. It's called my body on planet Earth, known by many as the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones from the Greek. The called out ones are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's called us and anointed us to be part of it, and not just to be a dead part of it, but to be highly involved, so that what we do in and through the church is the expression of Christ in us, in our lives. You see? The religious establishment turned church into a place where there's a man up front preaching, and everyone else just listens and observes and goes home and does whatever, and then they come back and it's the same thing the next week. But that's not the New Testament model of the church. The New Testament model of the church is that everyone, we read it this morning, I wonder if everyone can remember where it was from. It was Galatians 6:5. Thank you very much. And what does it say? Each one bearing their own load. The truth is that God he's put high value on us, you see. The society might not have put high value on you. Your family might not have put high value on you. Friends might not put high value on you. You know, but God puts a high value on you. God puts such a high value on you. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus. That he makes you righteous before his sight through Jesus' blood. And so now he says to us, listen, you valuable, beautiful, lovely thing. He's talking to you. Listen, you beautiful, lovely, valuable thing, you. Come on now. Come and join my team. It's called the Ecclesia, the church. I'm the head. You're going to be in the body. How about that? Now listen, that's a promotion. That's a promotion. Glory to God. It is a privilege to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you the truth, it's a privilege to clean the carpet, to clean the seats, to scrub the floor, to pick up the weeds, to do anything at all for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what we do for his body, we do for him. I know of a lady who just poured out some very expensive perfume, washed his feet in it. Well, that was his body that she was washing. Hello? What are we? We're the body. Is there any difference? Well, if she could do that then, what are we doing for the body now? Amen? This is something for us to think about very clearly and seriously tonight. Let me just move on quickly here. I'm coming to an end. Many churches are suffering from a serious case of consumerism, as I've said. You know, but the truth is, I have a very high view of church membership. And I hope that I lead everyone to have a similar view. And I, you know, as people come on board and as we assimilate people into the church, you know, high expectations. You know, you shouldn't join a church to see what you can get out of it. You join a church to sacrifice for the mission of God, yield to his will. You know, and all churches should be clear about how they accomplish his mission. And we've got a clear pathway here in the church that we're setting forward for accomplishing that mission. It takes a form of evangelism. So there's clear pathways for evangelism in this church. There's clear pathways for prayer in this church. There's clear pathways for Bible teaching in this church. So this is a church that's attempting to fulfill the call of God on planet Earth. And it takes everyone to be committed to that cause. It takes a commitment. It takes a high level commitment. You see, a lot of people with low self-esteem, low value of themselves, think, well, if I'm not involved, it doesn't matter. They won't miss me. I don't care. You know, who am I? What am I? Listen, get it into your mind. Please get this into your mind tonight. If you don't get anything else, get this into your mind. You are so fearfully, wonderfully made. You are a treasure to Almighty God. You are wonderful. And Jesus loves you so much. You're so precious to Jesus. You're so valuable to Jesus. We live in a world, because of the madness of human beings that aren't following Jesus, we live in a world that has devalued human life. And so it becomes easy, if we're not careful, to allow their thinking to affect our thinking. And their thinking of human life, it degrades human life, it degrades human life, it degrades human life. Down and down and down it goes. But, you know, that's not the way God looks at things. The way God looks at things, every human life is so precious, so beautiful, so wonderful. He loves so much. And, you know, you talk about someone who knows how to love God. Oh, he knows how to love. And Jesus loves you. You are so precious to Jesus. Your life is important to Jesus. The decisions you make are important to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, listen, you be part of my plan. You work for me now. You come and be part of my body. You work for me. If it's washing my feet, you wash my feet. And what a privilege it is to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you see, we're all part of the universal church. But the universal church of the Lord Jesus manifests itself always biblically in local church fellowship. Always. So we're part of the universal church, But that universal church always manifests in the local church. Always. Yeah, there's no such thing as existing in the universal church without local church membership. Doesn't exist in the Bible. And that membership is, you know, the picture that we get. Let's just turn to Acts chapter 2. It gives us a good picture of what we have in the Bible regarding this. This is what it looked like in Acts 2. And let's just turn to the end of that chapter. We'll go to verse 40. And verse 40 of Acts 2, and it says this, and with many other words, this is chapter 2, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Isn't this interesting? Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Notice the word steadfastly. Let me tell you this. The enemy is working. He's not in the nightclubs working diligently in the nightclubs. He doesn't need to be in the nightclubs working diligently. They're doing a good job enough for themselves. Where the enemy is focusing his attention is in the church. This is where he's focusing his attention. Because he wants to get people, he wants to divide and conquer. Get people divided. Let there be disunity. Get people grumbling. Get them complaining. That's the way people don't enter into the promised land. He wants to get people thinking the wrong way. Get them thinking, trick them into thinking that they're all on their own, that no one loves them. Trick them into thinking all sorts of things which are just part of their imaginations. You know, just part of their imaginations. I mentioned it before, it's a true thing, you know. You can walk past someone, you just look at them, and then they're in a bad mood. They think, he looked at me. He didn't say anything, you know. He looked at me, he ignored me. He didn't say hello. Well, I didn't even know I looked, you know. He looked at me, he didn't say hello. And not only that, he did it twice. There's something, I don't know what it is. There's something with him, I don't know what it is. There's something there. He's looked at me three times now and he hasn't said hello once. Do you know this is what the enemy's like? Sows doubt, sows all that wrong thinking in people's minds. This is what the enemy's doing, and he wants us to wake up to that and say, listen, we're not having that. We're not thinking silly thoughts. We're dwelling on what's right. We're dwelling on what's pure. We're going to dwell on the Word of God. We're going to live in victory. We're focusing. If we're going to focus on something, we're going to focus on the love of Jesus. Amen? The love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Think how much he loves you. Think how much he died for you. Think how much the resources, the riches of his grace are. Think on the right thoughts. Those things bring life to us and power for victory in our lives. The other things rob from us, steal, take away from us. And God's got good plans for you and your family. Amen. Amen. God's got great plans for you and your family. He loves you so much. You're precious. You're beautiful and precious to him. Watch this now. He says this then. He says, then, verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 were added to them. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They were steadfast in those things. Those things were happening a lot. They wanted to be together. It's not this thing of trying to say, if I can squeeze it in, I'm going to make it. But I've got important things going. You know, there's a football match on. That has nothing to do with New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christianity was fellowship was of the highest importance. Christian fellowship, being together, praying, encouraging one another. Steadfast, it says. Being steadfast about the things of God. And this isn't isolated. This is throughout the New Testament. It's saying, come on, make an effort. Come, make an effort. Oh, you don't like making an effort. You want, oh, you prefer not to make an effort. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, sure, okay. God bless. See you in 10 years. No. Now is the day. Make the effort now. Come now. Get involved. Let's be here. Let's be in prayer. Let's be busy about the things of God. And don't listen to his trick saying, oh, it's not important. It's not important. You're not so, you're not this, you're not that. Listen, be involved. Be there. Be in prayer. You've got some stuff to give, you know. God has put his riches in you. You're a gift to the church. You really are. You may not have understood that, but you really are. God has deposited in you things for other people in this fellowship. I don't believe it's an accident that everyone is here tonight. I believe if you're here this evening, there's a reason for you being here. I really mean that. And you know, you could say an encouraging word to someone. You could build someone up. I can't do it. See, the religious establishment looks to the pastor. Come on then, pastor. Come on, feed us. Come on. Feed us. And be quick about it. That's religion. But real Christianity says, listen, we're all in this. We're all, the Spirit of God is in each one. The deposit of God, he's anointed each one of us. And there's different gifts, different manifestations of that. Not everyone does the same thing. But I tell you what, one of the ladies could speak to one of the ladies in a way that I could never speak to them. Or one of the men who knows something about an area that I don't know can minister to one of the men in a way that I couldn't. And we encourage one another and we build each other up then in our most holy faith. And this is the way it must be. This is the love of Christ manifesting in and through us. Amen? And then he says this, but I like that word steadfastly. You know, when I read this, I think of the word steadfastly. It encourages me on. I think, yes, steadfast. Being steadfast. I'm going to be steadfast about this. I'm not going to be weak and oh, well, it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit, I don't, no. Steadfast. Being steadfast, strong, and being steadfast in it. And then let's see what God's going to do. Amen. He's got great plans for your life and your children's lives. And it doesn't matter how old they get, never give up on them. God's got plans for them. He's got plans for them. And your influence is bigger than you think. Hallelujah. He hears our prayers. Hallelujah. He hears the cries of our heart. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. Jesus is, it's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Jesus, our wonderful Savior. And then they said this, right? Verse 42, and then continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we have wonders and signs taking place in this church today. We have it today. Hallelujah. No miracles, no Jesus. If you're in church, there's miracles because Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Now, all who believed were together. I like this. Verse 44. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them all as anyone had need. Isn't that something? Now, we live in a different system. It's a different society now because in our society, what we have are the social services. They didn't have social services then. They didn't have it then. So it's a different society. And so, you know, the implications of that are not as profound on us. But I tell you the truth, if we didn't have social services system or people involved in that system, then the implications of that would be huge on the church. It would have a massive impact. But that system has developed, and so the impact is less. But nevertheless, we must be careful to make sure that no one in our church ever is in lack. Ever in lack in terms of the essential provisions that the scripture details. That must never happen in our church. Amen? And we are totally committed to that. Praise God. So, I'm going to leave it there. I just want to thank Jesus. That's what I want to do. I want to thank Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would like